you want people to know about you right now?
Yeah, so I'm a high school biology teacher here in Brooklyn. I'm also a delegate of my union, the United Federation of Teachers. I'm also a member of the Social Justice Caucus of that union. The caucus is called the Movement of Rank and File Educators or More.
What was the moment that you decided that you wanted to be a teacher, and why is it important for you to also be an activist within the industry of education?
So I always had a love for science, which is the subject I teach. But since I was in high school, you know, growing up during the Iraq War, growing up in an extremely segregated neighborhood, and growing up in an immigrant family whose members were, you know, domestic workers and restaurant workers, kind of all that made me feel like, you know, I needed to make an impact somehow, and that I could, you know, I could with other people actually kind of make things better, because they're not really that good for working people right now. But when I went into college, you know, I got really hooked onto biology, and I became a researcher, and I went to study in Chicago. And I always had a love for education as well, because I felt like I had a great education and great professors in college, especially. So when I, you know, went to Chicago to actually do research and to study, I was studying to become a biochemist. It so happened that there was a, you know, this union of teachers organized into the Chicago Teachers Union who were ready to go on strike. Why? Because they were getting paid too little. Okay, that's understandable. But because, you know, the students that they served were, you know, were being hurt by the policies of the city that prioritized the interests of the rich over the interests of the Black and Brown students in public education. And I saw the Chicago teachers gearing up, getting ready to possibly strike, and then they did. And I saw them strike, and I joined them on the picket lines. And, you know, I felt that, you know, this is something I could do. I had already thought about becoming an educator at some point in my life. But when I saw the Chicago teachers leverage their power, not just for better working conditions, which in itself is important, but by equating their working conditions to their students' learning conditions, that spoke volumes to me. And it showed me that as a teacher, you can actually fight simultaneously for improving your kind of day-to-day livelihood, and for, you know, you can fight for racial justice all at the same time. And in fact, you can't really do one well without doing the other in a system as segregated and as racist as the city of Chicago, as the cities of the United States, as the United States itself. So I think for me that really motivated me to leave my program at the University of Chicago, move back home to New York, and to become a teacher. And not just a teacher who teaches biology, but a teacher who teaches biology in context, because the history of science itself is not immune to you know, moments and instances of racism. And of empowerment as well, of Black and Brown people. And so I kind of wanted to, in the classroom, kind of teach a generation, or many generations, hopefully, of young people about kind of that overlapping history of science and of social justice. But I also wanted to kind of use my position as a teacher to also kind of encourage that way of thinking around among my coworkers and my union brothers and sisters. And so that's what we're trying to do today, right? When we're trying to, you know, get the UFT membership to endorse police-free schools and to endorse defunding the NYPD. That's part of that work. And it's hard work, but I'm happy to be doing it. And I think more and more teachers, a wider and wider layer of education workers, are also coming to those conclusions.
We want to switch gears now to talk about the current uprising around racism. And for people who aren't necessarily involved in public education, it can seem like suddenly out of nowhere, there's protests and there's demands for defunding the police and putting that money into schools. But it's actually been the result of years of organizing, you know, one of those channels being this annual Black Lives Matter at School Week of Action, which I know is something you've been involved in. I was hoping you could talk a little bit about some of those years of organizing, how they maybe built a bridge from the previous heights of struggle after Ferguson, you know, when people were out in the streets to today. And do you feel like that these years of organizing around things like Black Lives Matter at schools have helped make more teachers today supportive of calls to defund the police?
Absolutely. I think it's important to remember that the Black Lives Matter at school kind of movement is made up of educators who've gone through struggles from earlier in the decade and even before this decade, right? You think about the, you know, educators in Seattle who, you know, led a movement against testing. And, you know, you think about even as far back as the Wisconsin uprising, right, where teachers and other public sector workers were protesting, you know, the state's efforts to privatize and to bust the unions of that state. And, you know, we can go back also to the Chicago Teachers Union strike of 2012, which was largely a response to not just the defunding of education in the abstract, but the way that impacted, you know, Black and brown communities and students and families in Chicago. You know, and the CTU during that strike had been using language in their literature on the picket lines about housing, about policing, using language like apartheid schooling and the school to prison pipeline. They used that language back in 2012. So, you know, educators who are involved in this Black Lives Matter at school movement have, you know, either directly been through those struggles or, you know, had been learning from them and participating in their own way in their districts. And of course, there's just the Black Lives Matter movement itself, right? And the fact that, you know, Trayvon Martin and, you know, all these, a lot of these young Black men were and women, you know, were young and were the students of teachers, you know, and that wasn't lost on educators. And so those demands today, right, about like, you know, removing cops from schools and using that money instead to hire counselors. I mean, those demands are kind of a continuation of the work that we've been doing historically, right, in fighting segregation and fighting the school to prison pipeline. And even back to when we were fighting against budget cuts, right? Cuts that in 2008 during the Great Recession, you know, haven't yet been restored to you know, pre-recession levels, even though policing in general itself has increased in our schools and of course increased in society. And we're seeing now that de Blasio is, you know, practically refusing to cut any of the NYPD's budget, but is, you know, telling, you know, other public servants that, you know, they can expect to get hit hard and they can expect 22,000 layoffs and that they can, you know, expect, you know, the education department can expect a $1 billion cut. So that's not lost on us. And, you know, us being able to kind of like connect those dots, that's been a work in progress for a pretty long time. So I think what the Black Lives Matter at school movement has done is provided kind of institutional memory, right? Memory of those struggles in the past. And it's provided, you know, an opportunity for the movement today not to have to start from scratch, right? We've had demands for the past few years. And we've had a layer of teachers in their own way as a smaller group, you know, talking with their coworkers and protesting and doing actions for the past 3 years around these demands that are now getting a lot more resonance, right? Like now we've, you know, that work in the past few years has put us in a position where we can, you know, take advantage of the opportunity that's of the new moment, right? To educate our coworkers and to get them plugged in their community and their unions, to pressure city governments and school boards and even their own union officials to adopt finally, you know, the demands that we've been raising, which include, you know, hiring more educators of color, you know, and of course, hiring more counselors and other mental health providers and not cops.